Hello everyone! No, I'm joking.
Keeks is trying to project because I keep coming out really loud on the pods.
I don't know why I always sound so distant.
I'm sat in the other end of the room and I bet I still sound booming.
Probably. You're very good at, do you know, did you, where was your dance training?
Speech and drama.
Oh, of course.
Lambda.
Yeah. So, what else did you learn? Did you learn the tip of the tongue and the teeth of the lips?
No, we just did some warm-up vocals.
For, do them.
The tip of the tongue and the teeth of the tips. Oh. Oh, no.
The tip of the tongue, the teeth, the lips.
The tip of the tongue and the teeth and the lips.
That's the one.
Tits and teeth.
Tits and teeth.
But that's more James of a posture says. Thing.
Because, yeah, like tits up.
What's that?
Oh, sorry.
As opposed to tits down.
Like in Mrs. Maisel.
That's another one. Marvellous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, what are we talking about today?
Parenting, not tongue twisters.
Can you imagine doing a
your
whole
mum does tongue twisters.
I mean, your mum does.
Actually, that would be quite fun. What do you mean my mum does? What's that? Is that crude?
I think so. I think it's just me being very crude. And then we're talking about parenting today, which is very broad. So
yeah.
I actually had a 2 and a bit hour conversation with my mum.
Good
about
Lord.
This. And we'll encompass in 3 episodes, but this one was the main bulk. And then I was like, oh, wow. Sorry, mum, I know you've got a skip coming, but I still have loads to talk to you about. But yeah, it was...
You're all take.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, mum's had 2 different parenting experiences. So she had parenting with my sisters and then parenting with me. And it actually got quite emotional at the end because... I don't know, should I just delve straight into
yeah,
it?
Yeah, please.
Because I said to her, so after we spoke about all the parenting stuff, which I'll talk about later, I said, do you think it was better being an older mum? Because in those days she was seen as an older mum,
yeah.
She was 39.
Geriatric.
Yeah. She was 39 when she had me, but then she was 22 when she had my older sister. So she was like a sprightly young mum. And I was like, what do you think the difference was between those 2 parenting experiences? And she said that with my sisters, she had more energy, like she can't deny that. But then with me, she had more wisdom and actually she felt like more like time to spend on me, even though I've said previously that she had loads of, she worked 6 days a week and she started a business and stuff, but she still felt like she had more time. But then I was like, but I don't really feel like I've benefited from you being an older mum in that sense, because I kind of feel a bit jealous of my sisters when I started like crying, because they've had you for longer and they will have you for longer. So if I like, you know, make it to 40, I don't know, so that's in like 10 years time, you're going to be nearly 80.
Yeah.
And that like makes me sad because my sister's 40 now and she's had all that time with you. So I don't know if the quality, like what's better, like quality or quantity?
Yeah.
And she was like, no, well, I think you've been lucky. So that was that. But yeah, it was interesting to talk about that because I don't think I've ever really verbalised that. And it's something that when we have children, like we're not going to be young mums anymore, really.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, I feel like, in the maybe our industry and like women aren't having children as young anymore.
Yeah.
So they will be older mums by default.
And then what is going to be the relationship between our children and our mums? So like their grandparents, they're going to be really aged.
That's why I said, like, I don't have any like choice. You're going to be old no matter what when I have children, kind of thing. Whereas my...
God, they're so selfish, aren't they?
Yeah,
and so are we.
But I was like, my niece and nephews, they've had like their grandma, and I don't feel like obviously I had Uncle Leo, I was really lucky, because he lived till his 95, and maybe probably to the end of his life I became closer to him. But I don't have any grandparents anymore. My dad's parents died when I was really little, before I was like even 3. They were both like had passed away. Actually, I've never spoken to my dad about losing his parents when he was so young, because he wasn't older than 40 when they both died. My mum's parents have died as well. So I don't know, like it is sad to me. Maybe I have to like marry someone young and be a cougar so that they have like that paternal grandparents, because I don't know what's gonna happen with my mum. But you said you didn't really speak as in depth with your mum about parenting.
Yeah, she just wasn't that interested on the topic, to be honest.
Or parenting
itself. Or parenting, yeah.
She's like, I've done it, Charlotte, okay?
You're what do you want to know? Like, I asked her about her parents and how she was brought up, and she was like, my view was that they were quite strict with her. I don't know whether that was me just being like, oh, they're older generation and she's an only child girl.
Maybe it's surely they were drug raids.
The drug raids. But she said she brought that up again. She said that they weren't strict. They were really supportive. Oh. They always believed her and like believed that she was in the right. I think this is quite like a spoil any child thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like they were, they'd never had to like tell her off or anything. And that is really similar to how I was brought up. Mum was just like, yeah, we just like trusted you, and you know, I didn't have like curfews, there was no like, it wasn't grounded, like she doesn't think that she ever got angry at me. Mm. And I was like, I don't know, I feel like you probably did. But my teenage years were, I think that we were just arguing every day, but she doesn't see it like that.
Yeah.
She's like, no, she was like, I was really rude to you and like I'm a bit of an arsehole and like angry, and she was like, oh no you weren't. She was like, oh, I think it's half of one and six of the other, or whatever the saying is. Is that the word?
Six of one and half a dozen of the other.
Okay. She's got all her eggs in the wrong basket. And she's like, no, it's just a personality like clash. And she was, I was like, you were going through the menopause as I was going through puberty. And she was like, no, I wasn't. And I was like, when the hell did you, are you in the menopause now?
Are you pregnant?
I like, are you still fertile? Like, am I going to have a sister or brother?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was all quite like, she seems to think it was a really like chilled experience and she never had to tell me off.
Yeah. Well,
yeah?
But you know,
if you were parenting me, would you feel like you had to tell me off and put me in my place?
Because I feel like you tell yourself off.
Yeah, I do.
I think you're harder on yourself than anyone ever will be to you check yourself before you wreck yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, thank you. That means a lot.
I try.
Oh, is that more?
Sorry. Oh no, I can't. That's the thing, is that I literally can't even stop that.
What is it?
It's a message coming through on my laptop. But I can't stop the sound.
How do the professionals do this?
They probably don't have like their MacBook Airs right next to their microphone, first of all. My mum said that her mum wasn't very maternal and she thinks that made her more maternal.
Oh, good.
Which is nice.
So benefited you.
Really did. And I asked her if she would do things... differently, and she spoke about the fact that her parents left her in Jamaica. My granddad came over when she was like one or two, and then my grandma left my mum, who was three, my auntie, who was two, and my uncle, who was one, or the other way around. So three new, like, really young babies.
Their grandparents?
No, with three different relatives.
Wow.
And then came over to England to be with her husband because she missed him so much.
I admire that. That's kind of cool.
That's not really bond between her and her husband. But like, what about your three kids that you've, your three babies you've just left?
No, I mean, fair.
Because my granddad didn't leave the kids because he just wanted the break. Like, he wanted to make a better life. Yeah. Obviously, this is like the Windrush generation. Yeah. So there was an opportunity, I think. I can't remember when.
My stomach.
I can't remember when he left. What trade he went straight into, but eventually he went into working on the trains and stuff. And then they bought a house in Battersea, which is like hilarious now.
Oh.
But that was like where immigrants went, like came in and lived. And my grandma just was like, I miss you too much, more than I love, not more than I love, but more than I want to be with my children.
Yeah.
I don't know when I'm going to be, she didn't know when she'd be able to get them over.
Yeah.
And the only reason my mum came here when she was three is because she was obviously the oldest and she could speak and she could express properly how much she missed her parents. Aww. So she said, my mum was like, I'd go around and be like, are you... So she used to call my grandma Sister Cotty, because her name was Catilda and everyone called her Sister Cotty. And she'd go, are you Sister Cotty? Is that Sister Cotty? Like, thinking that any, like, light-skinned black woman in Jamaica was her mum. And that's her, the lady that was looking after her in Jamaica wrote, or can't have been quite, so must have wrote to my grandma and said,
yeah,
your daughter really, really is pining after you. You really need to think about sending for her. So that's why they sent for my mum. Left the other two for years.
Wow.
My grandma got pregnant with my other auntie, who was the only one that was born over here. And my mum came over with her auntie Flo on the boat and lived here until now. But my other auntie and uncle were left over there until they were like nearly 9 and 10.
Amazing.
Yeah. So my mum was like, that really had a big effect on me.
Yeah.
And she kind of definitely had a different, she never wanted to go on school trips even because she was so scared about leaving her parents. You okay?
I just gulped tea.
I'm also
very moved.
But I asked her what she would do differently, and she said that, because I basically, my mum had a spell where she moved to Florida when my sisters were in there, like, I think my older sister was like 12 and my younger sister was like 9, but she left them with my grandparents.
Ah.
And she said that obviously the way that her parents had left her, she was like, I don't know if I should do this, I don't want to leave them. Her marriage had broken down, that's why they didn't stay with their dad. And she basically was like, I'll take the job because I know that they're going to be with, they're together, first of all. They're not in separate houses and they're with their grandparent. But she said that that really played a big effect on her. And if she could do things differently, she would have done that because she thinks it made her a better person and gave her life experience, like to practice as a nurse in another country. But also she would have made sure that she spent even more time with her children.
Yeah, I'm just really gurgling. Sorry.
With her children. And I was like, not just in that instance then. And she was like, no. But like with working around the clock, like when Carlene and Debbie were little, I worked because of that, she wanted to buy a house and stuff. She worked a lot. And then when I was little, she worked a lot with her business. And she said that there was a time when she just had Carlene, so she had one child. And she was thinking about going back to work because she needed to start earning money again. And Carlene was 6 months old. I should probably put a trigger warning in this because it talks about child abuse. So, yeah. She said that Carlene was 6 months old. So she kind of looked at what the situation was with... Do you mind talking about
this? No, it's fine.
Child minds and stuff. And at that point, I think my nan and granddad were still working.
Yeah.
It was like 1979. And she said that she found a childminder that she really liked in Broccoli, and she was meant to start back work within the next month. And then she had not social carers, but you know when they come and do the checks with the babies.
Yeah.
She told the lady, "Oh, I found a childminder to leave Carlene with," and the lady said, "No, you don't leave that your child with that it's childminder perfect. Because we've had reports of not the childminder." Sexually abusing the baby, but the childminder's husband abusing babies. And my mum was like,
oh my God.
She carried that with her because she was like, I could have
so close.
Left my baby and someone could have been doing that to my baby, whatever it's like. She told me, but I won't go into it because there's no need. But so she said that she didn't want to leave the baby, Carlene, with any childminders because she was then like, I don't trust anyone.
Myself and family.
So then she started doing nights because of the fact that she could then leave Carlene with her husband and then do it that way.
Switch over.
Until she was old enough to go to the nursery in the hospital. But she said because of that, that's when she started having high blood pressure. She's only 23.
Oh my God. Oh my God. What a weight. Okay.
Yeah. Because she so badly didn't want to leave Carlene with people. So yeah, she's had like quite a, that must have been horrible as well as your first child, because then that kind of sets how you feel about.
But she's, correct me if I'm wrong, but she's not a like overprotective parent. No. So she's done so amazingly to recover from that point where it could turn someone into like seriously overprotective, like helicopter parent.
She is very, very, like when I didn't know that story until we spoke about it, which is why I'm so grateful to do this podcast as well, because I do feel like I'm learning more about her.
It's great, isn't it?
But she, it does explain why, like, she's very cautious about security. Like, when I go on a date, text me. Like, I don't know, maybe everyone is like this, but she's like, text me, like, drop a pin, phone me. Like, she's very, very...
I'm very jealous of that.
What?
No, mum doesn't, my mum wouldn't do that. Yeah.
Yeah, mum, she's very... Even, like, telling people my address now, like, the amount of deliveries we have to get for work, she's like... Why are these deliveries coming to the house? Kind of thing. So yeah, that definitely had an effect, but it could have been definitely more overbearing and stuff. So she definitely did well to not let it cloud her judgment of like the society, like in general. Like, I can't even imagine how that must have been for her. And even just hearing that story, and I haven't even got kids, that makes me think, I don't want to leave my child with anyone. Yeah. But yeah, do you think anything your mum's done has had any kind of impact? Neither of us are parents yet.
That's what you think. That's what all the noises were from my belly. I probably would do a lot of things similar to Leslie, actually. Like, she's very trusting and has all, like, never given me any strict, like, curfews or, like... I didn't have to do chores, like,
Wow.
I like elect to do them.
That's what I mean.
I'm quite voluntarily like, oh, I'll clean up this up, da, da, da. So I don't know how that's happened. First. I tell myself off first, you're right. So I do that, and she's quite like my vision of parenthood is hilarious, but it basically is at Glastonbury, and it's writing your telephone number on your child's arm and letting them go off and then getting drunk in a tent.
But that's what you want to do.
It's my life. This is why I'm so well suited to commune life. I need like a community around
to raise a child
in within like, you know, fences.
Yeah,
I shouldn't be let loose in Glastonbury if I have a child, basically, I think is the moral of
the
story.
If you have a child and you want to go to Glastonbury, I will look
thank
after
you
child.
That'd be really lovely. I just remember seeing this little kid walking around with a telephone number on him, and I was like, why has he got a number on him? And then someone explained.
How little?
5.
I cannot.
It was really funny. So, yeah, maybe I wouldn't do that. What else was I going to say about Les? Yeah, she's just quite chilled. Oh, but what we've always fall out about is timings and like being prepared for stuff, because she's very like, she turns up late to everything. I think I've spoken about it before, but I always had to get her up to take me to school and like make my own breakfast, which is fine, loads of kids do that, and be like, mum, I'm really hungry now, I think it's lunchtime, and like prompt her to we only ever ate one meal a day, which I think isn't that uncommon, but I remember just being like hungry all the time.
And just
it's not neglect, just to point out, but like she doesn't have like structure, and that maybe I would give my child more structure and be more of a like parent and more of a parent,
like
figure,
more
than a friend,
like in the, that sense, like doing like airports.
But it's hard to, because it's just me and her, that's always going to be such a different parenting style.
Yeah,
you can't. Yeah, there was no one for her to be like, okay, you be good cop and bad cop. She just had to be that
just
together
cop,
in
cop.
One cop cop, but good and bad cop.
Gosh, yeah, I don't know what kind of parent I'm gonna be. It's really, it's hard, because I always ask people, like my a lot of my friends have children now. I'm like, do you think I'll be a good mum? And they're always like, you'll be a great mum. I'm like, how do you know that though? Because like, I really love, I think because I've been given so much space as a child and as an adult, because my sisters moved out when I was really little, I had my own room from, like, even though I'm not an only child, I had my own room and space to do whatever I wanted. And then the kind of the same growing up. And then now as an adult, I can't imagine having someone imposing on my time and structure and routine in such a way. And that's what my mum always says about me. She's like, I don't know how you're going to cope. I agree.
Yeah.
But
you
I
have
do.
To be, you still have to retain your sense of self and like be selfish in order to be selfless to other people, right?
Yeah. And my mum said, I asked her, I was like, how did becoming a parent make you look at your parents? Because like, I can imagine it's going to make me look at you and dad and be like, oh, this is how you were, or this isn't how you were. And she said that it made me think that their parenting style, and then she like went, was different. And she said that when she had Carlene, the first thing that my granddad said to her is, wow, she's so black. And she remembers thinking, because of like colorism and that kind of thing, every day I'm going to tell my child how beautiful she is and how gorgeous she is and how perfect she is. Because if that's what her granddad is saying, then what is like the world going to say about her? And my sister then became my grandma's favorite grandchild. And my mum's next child, Debbie, when she was born, she's really light skinned. And my granddad said, I want to name her. She's so beautiful. Want to name her. And he named her Deborah Silvana, which is my sister's name, double barreled.
Nice.
And she's named after Miss World 1979 and Miss Jamaica 1979.
That is such a great fact.
And my mum was like, that's colonialism.
Oh my God.
Okay, Mum. I'll try not to have colonialism when I'm having babies.
Let's do an episode on names and where our mum's names come from.
Our mum's names. Yeah, because my mum's got a story for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. Nice. It was a very overwhelming conversation, but necessary for when we are parents.
And mine was a seriously underwhelming conversation with my mum. Because I don't know, she doesn't like... there's no like... big speech about parenting. She's always just like, oh, I just did it.
But that's anyway,
she doesn't, like, in the nicest possible way, she doesn't think too deeply about things.
Yeah. Whereas my mum thinks about things very deeply.
That's really nice as well.
Which is nice. And but it's
different
made
folks.
Us, who we are, which is great.
How are we doing for time?
Oh, I was going to stop recording. Should I stop?
Better do it then.
So the next question for this week's podcast is, I'm seeing a boy during lockdown, but we can't meet yet. But I do want to take things to the next level. Should I send him a picture of my boobs?
I can't believe that question. I just can't believe that somebody would be thinking that. But I'm sure there are many people that know in this mad world. I'm seeing a boy during lockdown.
Yeah.
But we can't meet. I want to take to the next level. So shall I send him a picture of my boobs? Really? No. That wouldn't be appropriate. All right?
So what would be appropriate?
What would be appropriate? I'm seeing a boy, Julian, and we can't meet. Keep chatting to him. Getting to know him over the phone or on internet, if you've seen FaceTime or whatever the, I think... online there's another way, isn't it, WhatsApp and different whatever other media, and keep him interested that way. I wouldn't send him a picture of my boobs, number one. No, why would that?
So what would you do? Would you flash him on FaceTime?
No, I would not flash him on FaceTime. I don't think anybody should be doing that. You need to be maybe a been together for a good while and you're away from each other, and then you can maybe have little texting or sexting, which I've never done, but you know, I know people do. That's when you're in a relationship already. You just meet the boy and you go, you're in lockdown, well, you might be getting frustrated, but you're going to send him a picture of a boob. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. You keep talking to him, you FaceTime, you tell him how you're feeling during lockdown. You tell him you really would love to see him again. You can't wait to see him. You talk to him. You keep him interested in that kind of way. Tell him what you've been doing and make him know you're interested in him and keep his interest going in you. That's how you do it. Not sending him a picture of your boobs. Nah.
This is Leslie with this week's dilemma. So the dilemma is, I've been talking to a boy during lockdown, but we can't meet yet in person. I want to take things to the next level. Should I send him a picture of my boobies?
Absolutely not.
Why?
That is, well, you just don't do things like that.
Why not?
No.
But why?
Because it's too suggestive and they might have the wrong idea.
But what's the right idea?
The right idea is to, you know, keep it on the low key and talk to them, you know, and show them that you're interested and you like the look of them. I mean, but yeah, so don't strip off or anything.
But why is it giving them the wrong message?
Oh, I'm 100%. Yeah, you just don't do things like that. The wrong, yeah, it gives them the wrong message because it's too suggestive.
But isn't that basically what a relationship might end up, you know, you're heading towards that direction if you're entering into a relationship?
Oh my God, so there's no way that you do that. No. let there be a bit of mystery regarding.
Okay. You think it's better to do it in person, yeah, rather than
No, I think you don't do that until you've seen somebody quite a few months down the line.
Okie
dokie. Certainly not initially.
Thank you very much for your advice.
Thank you for listening. This has been Your Mum.